Jesus music, only way I'm getting through it is when I listen to it. Devil try to put me through it. Thank God for Jesus music, only way I'm getting through it is when I listen to it. Raised on the songs, show me your glory and lead me to the cross. And now I'm singing this song in my own church band, making the music that made me who I am.
Say, I've been struggling for a while with my job and some other things, and last Wednesday night it kind of come to a head for me. At work I was really, really struggling in the spirit, and I started praying, and I want to read some scripture. The Lord led me to Romans 8, and you know, this old world, we get caught up in, you know, our bills and what we need to do and this and that. And, you know, when we're God's people, our goal is to grow his kingdom. And it's easy to get that out of our sight and our sight on the world and the needs of what this place says we need. But I'm going to read this scripture for you before I read this song, or before I sing the song. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And as I struggled with my struggles, what I was going through, you know, I thought, I'm more than a conqueror. And as the night went on, I put a little song together. It's a short song, but I'm going to sing that song for you tonight. And I tried to put music with it yesterday, and I got some, and I wasn't happy with it. Me and Alex worked on it a little bit last night, but y'all get me and the tune he give it to me tonight. It's going to be a cappella, so. For many years of my life, they were all a fight, and I had not seen a victory. Might and power I did try,
But they were both a lie. But through His Spirit I will see the victory. Because the war was won on Calvary. By His blood shed for you and me. So I can stand victoriously. More than a conqueror, that's what I will be. And though my battles rage on, I sing a brand new song. Because His love has set me free. And though the winds blow strong, I know the one who speaks the calm. And He will always defend me. Devil, can't you see? More than a conqueror, that's what I will be. And no, it's nothing that I've done. It's only from God's Son and what He's done for you and me. More than conquerors, that's what we will be.
Well, the Lord didn't give me a little song like that. I'll just tell you that. I hope I don't get in trouble for sharing something, but somebody was sharing with me just before church that they were talking to, I believe it's niece. I might be saying that wrong, but and they were talking about church and how much they like church, and they said, you know, we like church, and church ain't boring. Well, maybe sometimes just when the preaching's going on. So I come with a lot of confidence tonight of being the boring preacher. But no, I'm thankful to have opportunity to be with y'all tonight. We're going to be in a book tonight, and we're going to talk about some very familiar scripture here in just a moment. And I'm sure that many of y'all have this scripture put up on your wall at the house or maybe at work or something that you've seen in a plaque. And anybody got on a plaque on the wall or made the statement or that something that makes the statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Yeah. Now tell me where it's at. Not in the Bible, not in the house. Good answer. I'll be more and more specific on how I ask questions for now. Not where the plaque is at. Where is it at in the Bible? Joshua. I heard Joshua. Chapter? 24. Joshua chapter 24. If you will go with me to Joshua chapter 24 tonight. Yeah, I have to be a little more specific. It's on the refrigerator. Yeah, I like it. It's the right answer. Oh, it feels good to smile tonight. It feels good to be with y'all and be in a place of refuge for just a few minutes. World gets heavy every now and again, doesn't it? Every now and again, it just gets a little heavy, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord and in God's Word and let God speak to us. So 24 and 15 is where you'll find this verse of Scripture. And I know that we've all seen it on back of shirts, fronts of shirts, on plaques, on picture frames, on just about all kinds of things. And what a statement that Joshua made here in chapter 24, verse 15. And at the end of that, he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So let's go into Joshua 24 and 15, and let's read that verse of Scripture tonight. "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. I pray that you'll help us as we study your word tonight, God. I pray that you'll refresh my mind, God. I pray that you'll help my spirit tonight, God. I pray that you'll protect me in everything that I say tonight, God. You know I'm just human. I make mistakes. I make bad decisions, God. I do things that I'm not supposed to do. And God, I pray that you'll forgive me for those things, God, and help me to truly turn away from those things. And God, I have a desire to walk with you and be as you describe men in your word, that they were perfect and upright. And we know that that means that they weren't perfect, but they were always seeking you. God, I pray that you'll help me tonight as I try to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15, we see this verse of scripture, and maybe many, many of us have even used this scripture in a testimony, or if you've ever taught or anything like that, or maybe just in a conversation. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let's see what's going on in Joshua chapter number 24 for this scripture, for this statement to be made. And you'll see in Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 1 that Joshua has called together all the leaders here in Israel. Let's go to verse number 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So here they all come together. In verse number 2, I want you to pay close attention to what Joshua said. He says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." He said, "I want to give you what God has said. I don't want to give you my thoughts and my opinions," even though when we read in 24:15, "As for me and my house," we take that as from Joshua's point of view, and it was in verse number 15. But leading up to that, we see that Joshua is going to address the people, and that Joshua is going to address the leaders here, and he says, "And I'm going to give you what God says." And I hope and pray that every time that I stand, that I give you what God says. And that's the reason that sometimes when I stand and preach or teach or whatever, I'm standing here going, "Lord, how in the world do I say that? Because I'm guilty. Lord, how in the world do I lead in that? Because I'm guilty. Lord, how in the world do I say don't or do or whatever? Because I'm guilty." But, you know, it's not my job to stand up here and tell you how that I portray God's word or how I obey God's word. It's my job to give you God's word. So as Joshua is teaching the people here and he's addressing the people, he says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac." Now, this is not Joshua saying that he done these things. This is God reminding the people what he has done. He says they were on the other side of the flood and they were serving other gods, and I took them through that and I have brought them to serving me. In verse number 4, "And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt." Verse number 5, we're getting Bible history all in a nutshell right here. "And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came under the sea of the Egyptians, pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwell in the wilderness a long season." So as we go into verse number 15 and we see that Joshua makes the statement, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Leading up to that, and we took it in a backflash or a flashback, I guess you would call it a flashback in the scripture, because we went to 15 first, but leading up to that statement, he is reminding the children of Israel everything that God has done for them. Now, I wish that I had the time tonight to stand here and remind you of everything that God's ever done for you. For one thing, I don't know everything that God has done for you. I don't know personally how God's been there when nobody else could be there, or how God carried you through something, or how that God has blessed you. I don't have all of that information to give to you tonight, but what I can tell you is that the born again believers in Christ, I can tell you that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us, that while we didn't deserve it, that God allowed his only begotten son to come give his life for us, that even though he knew we would make mistakes after we were saved and after we claimed to be followers of Christ, that sometimes I'll use the old slang, that we'd fall off the wagon, that we would backslide, however you want to say it, that we would have those times in our life, yet God loved us enough to allow us to be his children. I don't know how to remind you of everything that God's done for you. And here, Joshua, he's taken them through some things. He said he went all the way back to Abraham, and then here he is at the Red Sea, and he says, "And I want to remind you what God has done for you." Let's verse number 8. "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land. and I destroyed them before you. It's a reminder of, hey, you didn't do it. Yeah, physically it may have happened to you, but it was because God was taking action on our part. And you know what? When we win battles here on this earth, and when we go through something and we can come out with that victory, when we become more than conquerors, it's not because, just like his song said, it's not because of anything that we've done, but it's all because of his son. It's because of what, how he is fighting our battles for us. Verse number 9, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand, and you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all of those ites, and I delivered them unto your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out. And that hornet, maybe it is a real literal hornet, or maybe it is the fear of God that went into these people when they knew the children of Israel were coming. When they knew that God was on the children of Israel's side, and here they come, we're getting ready to be conquered. So let's continue reading. Which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. Man, don't you have some stuff that you don't deserve tonight? I tell you what, I'm glad God didn't give me what I deserve. If I got what I deserve, I would be burning in hell tonight. And that's just all there is to it. And when we look at how God loved us and rescued us and redeemed us when we didn't deserve it, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to be perfect, and we're going to make mistakes, but we need to make a decision in our lives. And I know, listen, I can stand here tonight and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you know, really, there's only so much that I can do to control what my wife and my kids do. There's only so much that I can do to control what decisions they're going to make. But I'm going to tell you right now tonight that I want to, this is my desire, as for me and my house, my sanctuary, my vessel that God's given me, we're going to have to serve the Lord. And I trust that my family's with me, and I trust that my church family is in that same boat, that they want to serve the Lord. Verse number 13, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not do you eat. Verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now once you get through verses 1 through 13 and you see what God has done for the children of Israel, and you see how that Joshua is being used to remind them and telling them how that God has blessed them, how in the world could they be having a problem serving other gods? But you want to know the reason for verse number 15? Because these people that have been blessed so much by God, because these people who have had all of these wonderful things that God has prepared for them and led them through and taken them through, these people that have had all of that, they're having issues serving other gods. And I know that was sort of the topic of the message on Sunday, but I want us to go back and to look. Why in the world, when God has blessed the children of Israel like this, and he's brought them through all of this, and he has went before them, and he's given them things that they was not worthy of, why in the world would they have trouble serving other gods? But in verse number 14, we find that they are. Let's go to verse number 15 again. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, how in the world could it seem evil to serve the Lord? When you see what he's done for you, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then Joshua gives us the statement, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you make that statement tonight in your heart? This is rhetorical. I'm not asking you to speak up and say that. But would you make that statement in your mind tonight, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And you know what, though? There's a whole lot that goes with that. There's a whole lot that goes beyond that. Many times I've read this scripture, and man, when you get to this point that Joshua makes here in verse number 15, it's like one of those hit home points. You know, it's like the one you save for the end of the speech so that everybody claps, or it's that PowerPoint when you read verse number 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And everybody leaves and they're happy and they're up. And yes, God has blessed us so much, we will serve the Lord. But I want you to see, because I've stopped here many, many times, but let's see what continues to take place in verse number 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid. See, they're getting Joshua's message. They're getting the message from the Lord. They know what he is saying is true, and it's hitting them. And they say, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. How in the world could we serve other gods? Verse number 17, for the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed, and the Lord drave out from before us the people, even the Amorites that dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. They're feeling it, ain't they? I mean, it's just like they're saying, yes, Joshua, we hear you. We hear the message that God has given you. We know that God's been good to us. We know that he is worthy for us to serve. We know that that's what we should do, and that's what we are going to do. But I want you to look at Joshua's response. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. There must have been some stuff happening here that shouldn't have been happening. There must have been some people who were worshiping gods and serving gods that they shouldn't have been serving. He says, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. You know what? If you want to serve a holy God, you need to have a holy life. I know, we're scared of the word holy, ain't we? Because there's really, in my mind, there is no one or no thing that is holy when I compare it to our holy God that we serve. And I know my life, and I know my thoughts, and I know my heart, and I know my actions, and I know those things that take place that nobody else knows. And when I look at that, I'm almost scared when somebody says, hey, you should live a holy life. But can I tell you tonight that if we want to read God's word, and we want to be obedient to God, and we want to be in God's will, and we want to be effective for God, we got to live a holy life. You said in the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. Y'all all know what jealousy is? Well, you know what? God's jealousy is perfect. It's not the jealous like I have. It's not the one where the guy whistles at my wife at the gas station and I'm ready to go jerk him out of his car. You know, I've got to where I'm just a little bit of a smart aleck and I go, thank you. Like he was waving at me. I mean, like he was whistling at me. I get whistled at a lot. Hey, thank you. From guys that are whistling at Autumn, okay? So, but it's a perfect jealousy. And it's not like my kind of jealousy, but it is the kind of jealousy that I just want you to love me. I'm in love with you so much. He's already proved his love for us. And I just want you to love me with a perfect love. Why in the world would we not love God with a perfect love? But I know that sometimes there's things that happens in our life that conflicts us from being able to love God with a perfect love. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And you read that and you go, what in the world is the Bible saying right there? He won't forgive me of my transgressions or my sins. Hey, listen, I believe that Joshua is letting these people know how dangerous it is to say I'm a child of God, I serve a holy God, I love God, and then continue to serve other gods. I think he's trying to let them know what it is, how dangerous that is. Look, verse number 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Verse number 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Tonight, I believe that as I look around this room, that by your presence tonight, that I don't hear it audibly, but I can hear in my spirit that you're saying, I want to serve the Lord. I believe your desire is to serve the Lord. I believe your desire is to live a holy life. I believe that your desire is to be in the will of God. And we're all witnesses of that unto each other so that we can go on out here in this world and try to live the life that God has called us to be. And you know, all of this was part of Joshua's farewell address. He's just about to say, sayonara. He's about to say, My work here is done. Here at the end of this, in Joshua chapter number 24, if you continue reading, you'll see that Joshua leaves this earth, that he dies. And he's telling these people, hey, I'm going away. But I'm going to tell you somebody that you can serve that'll never go away. Let's continue reading. I'll be done here in just a minute. Where'd we get to? 23. Now therefore, put away strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statue at an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Listen, there may be some things in your life or some special things in your life that you need to set up so that when things get hard, when trouble comes, when this world becomes enticing, that you can look back and go, I made a covenant with God. I made a promise unto God. I told him. Now, I don't remember saying this when I got saved, but metaphorically, I was saying, God, if you will save me and keep me from going to hell, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. That's what the commitment I was making. That's what in my heart I was saying is, God, there is nothing better than you. God, there is no other answer than you. I know that I need salvation. God, I need you more than anything else in this world. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I'm committing, I'm surrendering my life to you. But there's been a lot of times I've unsurrendered in my life. There's been a lot of times that I've said, you know what, God, you still are the best thing, but let me just try a little bit over here. And most of the time, that wrecked real quick. Like, most of the time, I become collateral damage real quick in that. The happiest times in my life hasn't been the times that I've had the most money in my pocket. It hasn't been when I was driving the fanciest car that I've driven. I ain't really ever drove a real fancy car. It hadn't been the times when I had the best of whatever. You know what the happiest times in my life has been? When I've been walking in the center of God's will, surrendered, and doing my best to obey His Holy Spirit in my life. That's been the happiest times of my life. Let's read the rest of the chapter, and I'll be done tonight. Verse number 27, Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us, and therefore it be a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his own inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in that place, which is on the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Boy, wouldn't it encouraging to see that Israel went through with their commitment? Because when I was reading this and I was seeing that they were saying, nay, we shall serve the Lord, and I was seeing their commitment, I was like, well, let's just look. How long did they serve the Lord? But the Bible tells us that they held to their commitment. You know what, church? It is possible. I'm going to stop right there tonight. It is possible for us to hold our commitment. But let me go ahead and say this. It's not in your strength that you can hold that commitment. It is in His strength that you can hold that commitment. See, we like to say sometimes, I'm going to do the best I can do. I'm going to live the best that I can. And there's a whole lot of I stuff in there. We need to get out of first person. And we need to get in the third person. And know that the only way we can do anything is by surrendering unto God and giving Him full control of our lives. That's tough. I don't like people having control of me. When you get in the car with me, I'm going to drive. I will offer to take my vehicle just so I can drive. I do get just a little bit car sick if I sit in the back. I know that's a little bit sissified, but I do get a little bit car sick if I sit in the back. But other than that, I won't be in control. I know how I drive. I don't know how you drive. I'm starting to learn how Maggie drives, though. But we like to be in our own power. But if we want to be where God wants us, we won't have to let our power go and be in His power. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You and praise You for all that You do for us. God, thank You for Your word that You've given us tonight. And God, I am so thankful for power verses in the Bible, such as, "For me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." But God, help us not to just focus on those power verses and not see the things that are around it and how that just speaking those words that we're going to serve You, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're serving You. But God, help us to surrender ourselves and to commit ourselves. And in all that, we know that it's only through and by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us that we can be anything close to what You've called us to be. God, help us that when we fall and we fail and we come short, that we don't lay there and just wallow in that, but God, we allow conviction to come into our lives, that we ask for forgiveness, and that we get up and we begin to do the things that we can do again, to stay surrendered unto You and under Your control. We thank You most of all for Jesus Christ, and it's His name that we pray. Amen.